MDN TV, the podcast. Be abreast with now. Never miss a thing with MDN TV, the podcast. We love to keep you in the present with diverse goodies from secular and non-secular subjects of global interest. Join us. Grab more from these series. Listen to our podcasts. The undeniable
it's
choice.
It's sundown, and the day has just begun. Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. Yes. This is MDN Shows on Running with the Times, only on MDN TV, the podcast. And I am Major Daughter. Welcome, welcome to all our listeners and viewers around the world. Meet us in the comments. We are live there. Engage, ask questions. I mean, share this podcast. And if you have not subscribed, what are you waiting for? Because this is the hottest show on the planet. And today, my guest says, perfect is boring. Think about it. She says, I love helping people do life better. Ditch perfection. Forget about perfection and take messy action. I'm thinking, how does that even look like? Yeah? But today I had to bring all that because she puts this out there. So I bring that because today we are going to focus on prioritizing yourself. Have you ever thought of doing you? I mean, we get criticized for doing ourselves. We get told that you are self-centered, you're selfish, all these kinds of things. But I think she's got a different idea on this. Well, you want to find out with me? Jump in right after this.
MDN TV, the podcast. Be abreast with now. Never miss a thing with MDN TV, the podcast. We love to keep you in the present with diverse goodies from secular and non-secular subjects of global interest. Join us. Grab more from these series. Listen to our podcasts. The undeniable choice.
Well, the undeniable choice for today is indeed Leslie Logan. She says, perfect is boring. Thanks a gazillion times, Leslie. Leslie, is perfect boring? What do you mean?
I think so. I mean, like, look at us, how we're meeting up here today. None of this is perfect. And it's actually way more fun.
Wow, you are simply amazing. Thanks a gazillion times for saying yes and for sharing yourself with the world. I still want to give you an opportunity to just greet our listeners and viewers and tell them why you think we've got to be taking some messy action and ditch perfection and just move on along with messy.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me. Hi, everyone. I am Leslie Logan, as you mentioned, and I'm a Pilates instructor, recovering perfectionist, habits coach, breathwork coach, and podcaster. And I came across perfect being born and taking messy action because perfectionism was actually holding me back. It was keeping me from feeling like I was worthy, was good enough, I was actually not achieving any of the goals I had because I was waiting until things were perfect. And so what I realized is the things that weren't perfect, the things that I didn't complete, they kind of like happened their way out there. They actually did better than the things that I like had spent so much time trying to like handle and control. And so what I realized is the more we ditch perfection, the more we actually just do the best we can, take action without real, it's not like you have to leap before and the net will appear, but it's like, just go for it and see what happens. You'll see if you even like the thing. Sometimes people spend so much time trying to perfect something they don't even like, right? So that's kind of how this all came about. And what I really love helping people do is prioritizing yourself first, because you actually are not good to anybody in your life. You're a partner, your kid, yourself, if you don't pay attention to you and your needs first.
Yeah. Yeah. You say you are a recovering perfectionist?
Yeah, recovering perfectionism, overachiever.
Woo! Well, that's something. Now, this is all about really prioritizing ourselves, and we really get knocked for doing ourselves. Why is that?
Well, people call it selfish. They think that, like, if you are, you know, taking care of yourself and spending a lot of time with yourself, then it must be nice for you. You must have done something, but, like, it's actually really rude. You should be there for other people. And the truth is that, look, if you have an infant, obviously you should take care of that infant. But if you are constantly putting everybody in front of you, you actually are taking away from the world the gifts that you are the only person who can provide. Maybe you're a comedian. If you are always putting everyone in front of you, you are not writing jokes, which means you're not making people laugh, which means you're not giving people a break from the stress and their day-to-day life, right? So, like, if we think about how each one of us has this amazing gift to give, and we are instead letting everybody else's needs come before our own, we actually do not have the energy to give that gift. We become resentful, exhausted, sick. And that doesn't share love or your gift with anybody.
Hmm. And you say self-care is not selfish.
Yeah. It's like filling your car with gasoline. Is it, you know, the gas tank needs to be filled up for the car to drive. And if it is not full, then it doesn't start and it yes. can't get you anywhere. Right. So we don't go, oh, the car is being so selfish. It needs so much gas.
No.
You know?
Yes.
I actually think what is selfish is people not putting themselves first. It's pretty selfish because you're keeping your gift in the world. And I think there's a lot of people who see others doing it, so they call them selfish when they're really just afraid of what would happen if they poured into themselves. And then because they're holding themselves back, they're keeping their gifts from the world. That's selfish.
Yes. And you say we should really create habits that will help us to easily prioritize ourselves and put ourselves first so we can be there for others. How does that look like? How can one quickly build a habit? And examples of such habits, Leslie?
Yeah, so this is key. So you might be like nodding along going, okay, I get it. Like, I need to put myself first and that's not a selfish thing, but you know, how do I do that? And the truth is, everything you want to do, your entire life is just built on a series of habits, habits you've chosen to have and habits that you've allowed to happen to you. So an example of a habit you've allowed to happen to you is somebody calls you every night, late at night, and you answer the phone because you want to know what it is, instead of creating the habit that, like, I turn my phone ringer off at dinner so that I cannot be disrupted. Yo. Right? So habits that you might want to have to put yourself first might be going for a walk in the morning or spending time meditating. It might be doing 5 minutes of exercise, and you might be like, 5 minutes. But here's the thing. The best way to create a habit quickly is that you don't pick something that is humongous. Because if it's humongous and you can actually do it, then you probably already have that habit already in place. You have to start off really small. So if you want to run a marathon, you're not a runner, going out and running a marathon next tomorrow is not only a terrible idea, it's probably not going to happen. So what you probably need to do is, like, I'm going to run around the block and make a habit of running around the block every day. And then when that becomes more easily in your schedule, it's easier for you to show up and do it every day. You don't think about it. You don't question it. You just do it. Then you add 2 blocks and you add 3 blocks and you start to build upon the habit as it becomes easier to achieve, and you create more time around doing that.
I tell you what, I never ran a marathon, but today I'm running after you. Leslie, how long did it take you to get here, really? You say you don't have to answer every call, it starts with these tiny little things, small adjustments that will really make a big deal tomorrow. Leslie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think we expect things to happen fast. And so yes. when they don't happen fast, we quit too soon. And so how I got here is not because I didn't quit. It's because I just kept trying to figure it out. and I got frustrated because some things didn't work the way I wanted. But I think you learn, sometimes you have to learn things the hard way. I definitely learned some boundaries the hard way, because if I do answer calls late at night, then I can't sleep. And if I can't sleep, then I can't actually get up the next day and show up for my team, show up for my partner. And so again, going back to that, self-care isn't selfish, right? Like having that boundary in place. So some things I learned the hard way. And so you might be listening to this going, oh, there's this thing that's annoying me. If it is actually causing you stress or strain in your life, then building a boundary around it is going to be key, so that you actually can have the time and energy to add in a 5-minute habit, you know? So, and then the habits, where I got to that is I got really curious, Major. Like, I teach a lot of people movement. I teach a lot of people to take care of themselves. And yes, so many people are like, yes, they're ready, they're gung ho. And 3 days later, they're back where they started. Right. Yeah. So I studied with this behavioral scientist, and he talked about how habits are truly created, how habits can be unraveled, and how we have so much choice in it if we are kind to ourselves and we don't try to go super big and try to be perfect around it.
Whew, I really wish we could know how does one really get started on creating that habit, but also getting rid of that bad habit. How do you go about that?
Yeah. So, okay, we'll start with getting rid of a habit, because sometimes we have to do that in order to put in something in place that we really want. So it's a myth to think that you can break a bad habit. There's actually nothing to break. Like if you think of like a twig, like you could break a twig. That's not how a habit is done.
Yes.
A habit is actually a series of choices that you made, probably even when you were younger, right? That have become like this web. And this habit that you don't like is actually weaved into a web of your day. And so we actually have to figure out is like, what is the prompt? What is the thing that tells you to start the bad habit that you don't want to do? If it is maybe having a piece of dessert at night, some people would say, well, then don't buy the dessert. But that's
yeah, they great. Say don't have it in the fridge. Don't have it. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Really, is that how we solve great. It?
Yeah, but that doesn't always work, because you just start scrudging around for something sweet because you have this habit of having thing sweet after you have dinner. So you actually need to replace, because you can't take dinner away. You got to replace that habit with something. So maybe there's a favorite beverage that you like to have that's a little healthier, but it's kind of has that sweet flavor to it that you can replace. So after your dinner, in place of dessert, you have something else in your hand that you do. If that doesn't work because you're trying to get off the sugar completely, then you go for a walk. Maybe you like leave the house after dinner so that you actually are away from that accessibility to the habit. So you really have to think like, what is the thing that's the light switch, if you will, that turns on this habit that you don't want? How can we remove that light switch? What can we replace that habit with so it's not a hole, a vacuum in your day? And then get as small as possible. So like if it is that you don't want to, if you are normally having a piece of cake every night, taking away a whole piece of cake is going to be really hard. Can we take away half the cake? Can we take away 2/3 of the cake? Can we like make it as small as possible so that's achievable? Because what your brain needs is a win. If it has a win, it's going to be excited to do that thing again, because your brain works off of dopamine and it wants that hit of like a win. So that's why you need to make it as small as possible so you can celebrate early.
I want to celebrate early. So for how many days do you do that? I do this for a week, 2 weeks, and yes.
Yeah. So if you truly want the thing, right? If you actually are honest with yourself, I absolutely, like if you tell me I want to go for a run, I want to run, you know, 10 miles a day, let's just say, you have to actually want to do it. Okay. So some people have a lot of goals, especially this time of year, have a lot of goals on their board that are not theirs, that sound really good and someone else is doing them, and or that they think they should have those goals based on the family that's around them. So first of all, you have to actually want the thing. And I know that sounds obvious, but just in case something ended up on your thing that like other people want to do, right? Then the next thing is actually making it as achievable as possible. So I mentioned earlier running around the block, but maybe it's just putting on the running shoes. And I know for the perfectionists and overachievers out there that putting on the running shoes can sound like, ugh, that's nothing. But truly giving yourself an opportunity to have a win so that you can celebrate what you did do, which kicks off the dopamine. You can create a habit in a day. You can create a habit in 2 days. As long as you are celebrating the thing that you want to do and telling your brain this is a really good thing, your brain is going to seek out more opportunities to have that thing happen in your life.
Wow. Amazing. So it's not easy. It's not easy. Now, you're recovering as a perfectionist, but what do you think are some of the biggest mistakes that perfectionists are making out there and that has really become a hindrance to their growth, progress, and everything?
Yeah. So perfectionists, one of the biggest things is that they're so hard on themselves and often others, because that's how they talk to themselves, that they are not actually creating any good habits in their life. Because we go back to the brain. If you're shaming yourself around something, let's say you wanted to go for that run and you slept in and you're like, oh, I'm terrible. I was going to go for that run today and I just slept in because I'm just like, ugh, not feeling bad. Your brain goes, running makes me feel bad. So I'm not going to think about running because it makes me feel bad. So you're not going to look for things. So perfectionists, what's holding them back is that they have such negativity around things that they don't do well, often things that they wish they did well, but that they didn't do well enough to their standards that day, that they're actually getting in their own way of creating the habits that they want to have. And so that's a problem, right? And so, I mean, I think, you know, it's also a problem that they're being hard on other people, but most often perfectionists really are not going to vocally verbally say what they're being hard on with others. They'll keep it all to themselves, but how they treat themselves is really creating a life of which they don't want, because they've raised the standard so high. And then that's causing them from, again, taking care of themselves.
If you started again tomorrow, will you do the same things you did, or will you change your strategy? I mean, you're a pilot teacher. That's on the other side.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's a few things I would change around my career, because I think I'm really grateful that I am where I am today. I mean, I probably would have liked to get the same lessons without having to do the same things. Speed up the process a little bit so I could have learned the lesson sooner. I think that would have been awesome. But I don't have any regrets. I really do love where this career has taken me, and the experiences I had that got me here allow me to relate to others and allow me to see how other people could have a good struggle with taking care of themselves. So there can be a lot of empathy and a lot of guidance there. And I am grateful for that. So I'm not going to say I would start it all the way over exactly the same way, but I also wouldn't want to change anything. So I guess I'd have to.
Wow. How can our listeners find out more about you?
Yeah. So you can listen to the Be It Till You See It podcast. I talk a lot about habits, how much perfection is boring, taking messy action. So if this is intriguing you, then that podcast can be another dose of inspo in your life.
Bringing you the good news all day long. You were tuned in to the hottest station on the planet. Keep it locked.
Keep it locked with Leslie. We are at the tail end. You've said so much. I mean, you have touched me. How much more with the listeners and the viewers? Before we let you go, if you had to give a bit of advice to somebody listening, and those will listen much later, those will see this later, who've been really making mistakes on their road or journeys of coming out of putting others first and not themselves, of beating themselves up all the time because they're told doing you is a selfish act and all that, what will you have to say to them?
Well, first of all, I see you, and it's not going to be easy. If you have, you've probably been putting others first for a really long time. So unraveling those habits and sticking up for yourself and standing up for time for it to pour into yourself is not going to be easy at all. In fact, you're going to probably piss some people off because they're so used to you coming in early or staying late to help do work that they're supposed to be doing. You know, so just so you know, when you change how you your schedule is to pour into yourself first, there are going to be people who are going to be pissed at it. And just keep that in mind. And you can, you don't have to apologize. You can understand. You can say, oh, I understand that you're used to me overworking, but I'm no longer doing that. So if I can't get my job done by the time I have to leave to take care of my family, I'm going to come in tomorrow and finish it then. And just know that, because not every single person in your life's opinion can matter more than yours of yourself. So you have to be really, really clear whose opinions of you truly matter. And as you make these changes in your life, notice who's cheering you on and notice who's getting pissed. And the ones that are cheering you on, those are the people who truly care. Those are the people who they care about themselves enough to see that you're caring for you. Because the people who are cheering you on do not see this as you taking from them. They see it as you adding to the world. And so just pay attention to that and spend more time with those cheerleaders and less time with the people who are hating on you. And then be kind to yourself. You're going to make mistakes along the way. You're going to fall back into old habits and you're going to have to give yourself lots of pep talks. So get an accountability partner of some kind who sees that this is a great change for you. And then do give yourself permission that the best is good enough for today.
You are the queen of self-care. I tell you, your goals. Thanks, Gazillion Times, for the masterclass. I think we can do this better after this. We really appreciate your time, your wisdom, everything. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Leslie Logan. Check her out from us to you. Well done.
MDN Talk Radio. The mic swings to you at MDN Talk Radio. The conversation is upbeat with life-enhancing chats moderated by personalities that matter. Exclusive conversations to keep our radio community interactive is with you now. Log on from the comfort of your couch or take us along in your palm as you go. Hear us. The undeniable choice.